This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 375 for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Joining me this week is Megan Townsend. You can find her at @omegantownsend on all the social media that matters. Welcome back, my stormy friend.
Hello, my fellow stormy friend. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. And for those of you who are wondering, Tuesday, why Tuesday? Is this another mistake in the show notes? Nope. Actually, we're recording intentionally on Tuesday this week because Megan and I are dealing with what will be post-tropical storm Teddy, previously Hurricane Teddy, that's going to hit the Maritimes right now. The trees in my backyard are already upside down.
Yeah. Oh, are they?
Well, I mean, I live down by the ocean, so there's a little bit more wind where I am right now. But over the next 24 hours, we should have a fairly decent storm. So I thought, well, I've got the time, and Megan had the time. Let's record this little cafe a day ahead of time. And so hopefully I can get it up online and downloaded to folks before I will inevitably lose power, which is more than likely going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's just raining here now. Like, it's coming down for sure. It's definitely wet out there, but trees are swaying a little. But I feel like because you're closer to the water and I'm a little bit further inland, I'm wondering if I'll get that gradually. We're not supposed to talk about the weather, but here we are talking about the weather.
The thing is about stuff like this, I think it's important to at least mention because, well, one, it's going to be a very intense hurricane season. That's going to affect my podcasting, it's going to affect, because power, internet, all that kind of stuff. You and I have both been streaming a lot lately. I was planning on streaming today, not tonight, but like later today. So it may affect that as well. And so I thought it would be good to let people know. It's also in many cases, I mean, like Environment Canada is issuing more rainfall tropical storm warnings than I can shake a stick at. So it's not something, even though it's not a hurricane anymore or won't be by the time it hits us, it's still something to be concerned about. The winds are sustained over 65 kilometers an hour and gusting into the 100 kilometers an hour in some places, depending on where you are. Probably more like, open sea Cape Breton sort of idea. But 50 to 75 millimeters of rain, up to 100 millimeters of rain in some places. That's a lot. Like, that's flood level issues, right? That's all happening in 24 hours, so there's not going to be enough room or time for the water to get into the streams or get into the storm drains or get into the ground, so there's going to be a lot of flooding. I know a lot of, I follow some farms locally because I go to the different markets here on social media, and a lot of farmers were out this weekend trying to get harvests in before they're either washed away or, other problems occur. And the problem with hurricanes, of course, this close to the end of summer, all the trees have still got all their leaves on them. So there's going to be some downed trees, probably some downed power lines. And so
I'm just sad because, like, there's not going to be as many pretty orange leaves.
Yeah, no, that's always a thing, too. No, I agree. I was hoping to do some hiking in Musgadabit later this fall because of the leaf changing. So we'll see. Hopefully it won't be as bad. Because we have a number of Canadian and a number of local listeners, it's always kind of good to get this information out there because, you'd have to be under a rock because, honestly, I catch myself. And it's very difficult as a Maritimer not to talk about the weather. Like, it's just something that happens
constantly.
Yeah, it's
true. It's like it's in our culture as well. It's just like, oh, that weather's crazy today. And I think it's mostly just because it is so sporadic here. It's so...
Oh, yeah.
All over the place here.
I saw a great meme the other day. It's like, welcome to Nova Scotia, where at 10 a.m. it's winter, and at 12 p.m. it's fall, 3 a.m. or 3 p.m. it's the middle of summer, and then back to spring again at sunset. Because,
more or less.
You wake up and it's 4 degrees, and then it's 20 degrees in the afternoon. Because I had that happen the other day. I was out actually running errands and getting ready for the hurricane. And making sure I had, groceries and all that kind of stuff last week ahead of everybody, rushing out this weekend. And it was cool. So, like, I put on a pair of jeans and a hoodie, and I hadn't been warm in my apartment, which is unusual. I got down and I got halfway to the grocery store, and at the first stoplight, I was taking the hoodie off because I was dying, because it was in the sunshine outside. It was like 25 degrees. I was like, this is nuts.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, wait half an hour if you're not happy with the weather.
Yep.
Wait half an hour. It's probably going to change. Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, exactly.
You can time it in some cases.
Yeah. Although I have to say, it's been pretty cool to watch the meteorological models that people are presenting online for Teddy, and kind of learning a little bit more about it. Like, it was a hurricane class 2, class 3, and then class 1, and then it's going to hit this like cold Atlantic Ocean combined with the jet stream, and it's going to increase in size but decrease in intensity. And it was just kind of really neat to kind of see how that all works, you know? Like, it was really cool. I used to be really into this kind of stuff when I was in high school and university, because whenever I took a science class, it was either like geology or meteorology or like something to do with the planet. I was just like, I don't want to take biology in terms of like animals and chemistry and stuff. I wanted to do more, you know, broader, you know, sciences and stuff. So so I learned all about it, and actually the university course that I had about weather was really interesting, because it was just, you know, next level. It took it to the point where you had to talk about like pressure systems and you know, physics and all that kind of stuff. It was really cool. I forget most of it now because that was like 20 years ago, but yeah, it's hopefully everyone in the Maritimes and in the region is safe and weathering the storm with their storm chips. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you should look it up, because it's hilarious.
Storm chips. I forgot about. I actually didn't get any storm chips. I'm a failure of a Maritimer.
I did, but I ate them.
But I did get Pop Tarts.
Storm Pop Tarts.
I got Pop Tarts.
I like Pop Tarts. I haven't had Pop Tarts
in a long time. They do. I never really had them as a kid, so like I don't think I have as much nostalgia for them. So like I don't. I'm not. I haven't had them in a long time. I got them recently. I'm just like, these are all right. They're definitely better toasted. I had them. Mm-hmm. I tried them raw this morning. I tried them toasted, and I'm like, you know what? They're not bad toasted. I don't know if I like them raw, but I got s'more flavored and I got raspberry flavored, and because you know, mix of both. But yeah, just wanted something simple.
I find really the chocolate easy ones, they don't do very well. I'm a strawberry Pop-Tart guy. I don't really deviate much. But to my disappointment, you can't get unfrosted anymore. They're all frosted.
You can actually get there's a recipe I found online for making them. Like, you can make your own unfrosted Pop-Tarts, because all it is just pie crust, right? Like, it's just that you just buy pie crust from the store, and then you just cut out, you know, the size of Pop-Tart that you want. And what a lot of people do is, if you like to make your own jam, or if you have like your own filling, so like, I know you like strawberry, you can just put your own like strawberry rhubarb mix if you want to, like in the middle, and because it's essentially just like a little hand pie.
Yeah.
More or less. They're just flatter, right? Pop. It's a tart. It's a Pop Tart. And you just put it in the toaster if you want. So, you can find so many recipes for them online to make your own. And that way you kind of know a bit more what's in it. There's no preservatives.
Well, yeah. So with a Pop Tart, though, like a homemade one, would it still work in the toaster? Would it cook? Or would you have to put it in the oven?
I mean, they're baked anyway beforehand. Most things that I've seen is people will just throw them in the oven for a little bit, because they usually roll out the dough really really thin, and then make the Pop-Tarts out of that, so that way they're nice and thin like they would be in the toaster. But I think what some people do, and I've done this with like pancakes, if you make a bunch of pancakes and don't eat them all, I don't know if that's a thing that you've heard of, but you know, sorry, that seemed like an unintentional dig. I just kept going, and I was like, wait, is this rude?
No, I absolutely, I eat the whole batch. The batch of pancakes that I make, for people that don't know, I make pancakes from scratch pretty much every Saturday, and it only makes 9 pancakes, and they're not 9 plate sized, they're like 9 saucer sized pancakes. If I made them dinner plate size, I might get 3.
Right.
It's a full stack of pancakes, but it's not like I'm eating 2 stacks. It's a small batch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only eat 3 small pancakes. I don't dislike pancakes, but I have. We're gonna have a chocolate story. Okay. So here I have a reason. Okay. It's not that pancakes are not good. It's just that. When I was a kid, I think I was like 12, my dad made a bunch of pancakes and he didn't quite cook them all the way through.
Oh, gross. Yep.
And he bought syrup. This is when we first moved here, and he went to Sobeys. We weren't really familiar with Sobeys, and we saw, because we moved from to Nova Scotia from out west, and so we weren't super familiar with like our local grocery store, and he bought a big thing of syrup because it was on sale, and he was like, "Oh, this is a great deal." He didn't check what kind of syrup it was, and he used to douse our pancakes in syrup. And so the combination of slightly undercooked pancakes with what he thought was table syrup but was actually corn syrup just made for a really, really bad experience eating pancakes. So now I have like a thing. And it's also like it's become kind of a texture thing. I don't really like waffles either. And it's not that waffles don't taste good. It's literally the denseness of it. Like it's really dense. The only kind of pancakes I like are slightly crispy right around the edge, but then otherwise pretty fluffy in the middle.
That's
but
how I make mine. They have to
be kind of crunchy. Oh, okay. So yeah. I feel like I would like your pancakes a lot.
Yeah. My tip is a cast iron pan, if you can swing it, because it's a high temperature. So the reason why I make my pancakes smaller is because it's the cook time. Like I can get them to cook through being crispy on the outside before they get too crispy on the outside because over the course of the morning as I'm having, because I don't eat them all at once, but as I'm like cooking more pancakes, I have to reduce the heat because the cast iron pan just keeps on getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Otherwise you end up with black pancakes.
Right. So we just use like a normal frying pan, but what we would do is if my mom made a bunch of them and like, you know, she would kind of overdo it a little bit, I think. And because, you know, my brother and I are not super like into eating mountains of pancakes. I usually get, and she also makes eggs with them too. Like she makes eggs and sausages. And so it's like, it's a full breakfast. So I can really only, you know, handle three small pancakes with a little bit of butter and syrup and some fruit and some scrambled eggs and, maybe a sausage link. And that's about all I can do. So any leftovers that we have, we usually wrap up and then we put them in the fridge. And then whenever we want one, we take it, we pop it in the toaster.
Yep. Oh, I've done that before.
So that's what we would do. So, but like, we're talking about Pop-Tarts. I guess it's kind of the same thing. If you make multiple Pop-Tarts and bake them and then you put them in the fridge and then you want to heat them up again, you can just throw them in the toaster.
Especially if you've kind of like lightly baked them. Like you've gotten to the point where they're done, but they're not overly brown in the oven, then you could kind of finish the brown in the toaster.
Yeah, apparently it's a very finicky process, but it can be a very rewarding process if you do it right for your own non-frosted Pop-Tarts.
I've never done pastry. I can do cookies, I do pancakes, I do waffles, I can make, you know, banana bread, that kind of stuff. And actually, my banana bread is not the best. I'm still trying to figure out the best way to do that. But I don't do a lot of baking. And as a result, my skills there are on the light side. I can cook to no end. Like, I'm quite comfortable cooking and throwing things together. But when it comes to baking, especially things like pastry, I've just never had the... Well, I don't have the need because, like, my mother and my sister make fantastic pies. And I kind of don't want to learn how to make fantastic pies because I already eat enough cookies as it is. So... I don't really need to be able to make a pie and then have no one to eat it but me. So we'll go for that. I do have a nice apple crumble recipe that I do again in the cast iron.
Ooh.
And that's nice because it's a 9-inch cast iron, so it's like 3 servings.
Wait, I think I've had your apple crumble. I think I came over for something at one point in the fall and you'd made it.
Maybe that, or back when we used to work together, I might have brought leftovers in. I can't remember.
Maybe that's probably what it was.
Maybe that's what it was. But yeah, it's always better fresh because it's crispier. The like leftover stuff is rough, but yeah, that could have been the case. I'm actually looking forward to getting apples from the market to do some stuff with this fall. So that should be.
You think I'm going apple picking next weekend?
Nice.
Assuming nothing is, you know, terribly damaged by Teddy today, but
we'll see.
But yeah, I'm hoping to make a lot of apple crumble, and then for Colin's birthday. His birthday is right around Thanksgiving, so Canadian Thanksgiving, I should say. And so he doesn't really like cake. He's not really into cake. So every year he gets a birthday pie instead. And as he says, apple is traditional. So we're going to make his pie after we get a bunch of apples. We're just going to buy a bunch and get baking apples and make apple crumble and apple pie. And
very cool. I will send you my crumble recipe just in case you...
That'd be fantastic. Thank you very much.
It's really simple and it always seems to come out just right. So But speaking of the fall weather and staying inside, we have an email coming in this week from Jackson, and the subject is PC versus console versus streaming. All very good inside activities. Hello, Joel and co-host. I was wondering what your opinion is on the new consoles and how you think they would compare to most PCs by the price and what you get. Also, I know Joel streams and has quite a consistent community that I seem to chat in every time. I also have been streaming for almost a year, and I was wondering how you got through your first couple of months to a year without having more than a few viewers or next to no viewers in your chat while streaming. I have a hard time streaming with no one watching. Love both shows. Keep up the hard work. Ordering more from the cafe, Jackson. Thanks very much, Jackson, for the nice email. Appreciate it. And Jackson's referred to the Spawn Chunks, the other podcast about Minecraft. And as you lucked out this week, Jackson, Megan streams as well, so you're gonna get double the answer. I'll start with the new Xbox and new PlayStation stuff. I don't have a lot to say because I'm not a big console gamer. I'm only just now interested in potentially updating my Xbox 360 from like 4 to 5 years ago. The Xbox and PlayStation, I guess it's the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, they priced me out. I'm a pretty casual couch gamer. Where I spend most of my time, especially because it's now like part-time professional streaming, I put most of my time and energy into my PC in terms of gaming time as well as any kind of like finances and stuff like that, because it makes the most sense. However, the Xbox Series, which is now an X and an S because they hate us all, there is an all-digital version, which is the S, and it comes in at $379.99 Canadian, which is cheap for a next-gen console, from what I've seen over the last few years. So I'm curious. I might have the budget this fall for it. It really depends on what games come out. I don't have a great TV, so I'd probably end up wanting to get a new TV as well. So it all depends on kind of like what Black Friday might bring for that kind of stuff. I'm also not a PC head when it comes to under the hood. I know that NVIDIA just came out with some fantastic new cards that we covered on the show a couple weeks ago, but I don't know, like, I'm not sure of all of the options that are out there compared to what's under the hood for the consoles. It's one of the things I like about consoles is that I just turn it on and play a game. I don't really care what's under the hood. I just want it to work. And if the games look good, they're always optimized for the consoles. So I kind of feel like if you're streaming, then unless you're streaming from a console, you might be better off looking at what you're doing with your PC. Now, that said, I've got to upgrade the CPU in my computer because it's causing me problems, and that alone is $300 Canadian, at least. So, I'm debating. I do kind of want that kickback experience, like having to sit at a computer every time I want a video game, and then having that weird, not guilt, but that weird obligation of like, well, I want to play this game, but I should probably share it with the community so I don't game on my own. And when I really should, like, I'd love to have a good story game that I can just go through at my own pace, you know, like a Mass Effect, like, you know, Megan and I have talked about Mass Effect on the show, or Assassin's Creed, or even the Batman Arkham series. That army, maybe not the best thing to kind of like stream, because there's only really one thing you can do, you know? And so I'd like to do that, maybe on a console. Are you looking at upgrading a console this fall? I think you just got a Switch recently, didn't you?
Well, it's not, so I'm borrowing a Switch, so I don't actually have my own Switch, but my friend Corvus, he's in my chat often, or has helped me with some tech problems before, he actually built my PC for me, and he has multiple consoles, because he likes to have, he bought one for his mom, which seems like a funny thing, because his mom doesn't seem like a gamer at all, but he bought one for himself, bought one for his mom, and then bought another to tinker with. But his mom didn't want the Switch, so he's like, I just have a spare Switch, do you want to use it? And I was like, yeah, sure. So now I'm using a separate Switch, so I might look at getting one myself. My roommate just bought a PS4.
It's an odd time to buy a PS4.
Well, she bought it specifically because she wanted to play Final Fantasy VII Remake upon release,
right?
And so she's like, am I gonna buy this console just to play this game? Absolutely I am. Because, and she knew it was stupid. She was like, I know this is not a good thing to do, but she was like, she had disposable income and she was like, I want to play that game, because she's got a lot of you know, nostalgia for it. But I don't know. Yeah, I think what I would like to do is upgrade my computer a little bit more. I think I just got a capture card, so like having a new console would be really nice. I want to wait until I see what kind of games are out there first, because, like, you know, I know the PS5 is coming out. I'm more of a PlayStation gamer. I do really like PlayStation. Right now I'm using, I don't feel like I need an Xbox because I'm using the Xbox console companion and like basically doing Xbox on my PC, which has been awesome. So I don't really need to get another console, but if I did get another console, it would definitely be a PlayStation. But I want to wait on that for a little bit just to see, you know, if there's a title that really grabs me that makes it feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, I think the only reason I stick with Xbox is because that was the most recent console that I was introduced to. And because I now have a PC, knowing that we've got Xbox, what is it? Not Game Pass. Xbox Game Pass or Game Pass Ultimate allows you to have access to games both on PC and on Xbox. So, like, you could own it, and if I wanted to stream it, I could. Or if I just wanted to couch it, I could also do that too, which I think is really cool. And that is given the amount of games that you can play, and even the Series S, which is a solid state. There's no disk drive in the console. PlayStation 5 has got a version like this too. It increases the speed of it in terms of like load times. And while there is a limit on the amount of stuff you can store, I'm not going to be storing hundreds of games, but the fact that these can play older games means that you've got an instant library, right, at your fingertips, especially if you pay the $9 a month or whatever it's going to be for Xbox Game Pass. And so I would be able to try games, because that's the other thing. I'm not so steeped in games that I know what's good, what's bad, what developers I trust. Like, I see something and it looks appealing and I'll try it. And if it sucks, then I'm kind of out, you know, few bucks. Like, I tried that with Astromir. I only spent like $15 on Astroneer when it was on sale, but I tried it and didn't like it. I streamed for a few hours and it's like, nope, this is not for me.
I wasn't super interested in your either. I know Colin's really into it, but I'm not. But that's like, you know, you're saying that's, you know, if that's Game Pass, yeah. Game Pass has been great for that because it's given me a chance to try new games that I probably wouldn't have tried otherwise. Mm. So, you know, like Gears 5. I don't think I ever would have picked up Gears 5 or Gears 4 because Colin and I started playing Gears 4 together. And we had a great time with it. Gears 5 were a little bit, you know, meh on. But, you know, we loved Gears, and the fact that we could get that for free with Game Pass was awesome. I'm able to try Spiritfarer right now because of Game Pass, and I might actually buy it, you know, once, if it ever comes off Game Pass, because it's just such a nice, chill game. I don't know if you've tried playing that yet, Joel, but it's very good.
I've watched it played. Probably not my thing. Probably not really my cup of tea. No. But like, I find that I have enough like retro flat graphics with Minecraft. Whenever I play something other than Minecraft, I tend to want something new in 3D. That tends to be where my brain goes.
Right. But I think what I like about Spiritfarer so much is that it looks like an animation. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like an animated show, and the character animations are very fluid and very, very clean. It seems to be this trend of people taking traditional animation and putting them into video games, which I find is really interesting. Like, Cuphead is another one.
Yes. Now, and I prefer that look over retro pixel art stuff. You know, like, one of the things that, I mean, I'm probably going to try it because there's a big update coming to Stardew Valley, I think, next month. Or later this month, I can't remember the date, but I've owned that for a couple of years and never cracked it, and it also seems like a chill game. But what keeps me out of it is that retro pixel look, and it's not something that I'm terribly into, despite the fact that I play Minecraft. But I think part of it is because I get so much of that in Minecraft, I want to exercise, you know, outside of it.
You want something else.
Yeah. So I do like that trend of having that traditional animation look in games. There's been a couple of other ones I thought had turned my head as well. I don't like turn-based games, and some of these other games were turn-based stuff. And again, not really my thing, but they looked really pretty. So that kind of stuff is always really cool. When it comes to streaming, Jackson, I had the advantage of having an existing podcasting community. So when I started streaming, I really didn't start with no one. There was always a handful of people in the chat, which was nice. However, it can be quiet at times. And even if you've got 10 or 12 viewers, maybe they're just not saying anything. So with that, I would say treat streaming like you're recording a YouTube video. Pretend like you have an after audience, I like to say. Because there are VODs on Twitch. Those videos are going to exist. And just because there's nothing happening in chat doesn't mean that you can't engage with some imaginary viewer. Pretend you're talking to somebody, you know, that doesn't know what you're doing, because try to explain. I find a game like Minecraft is very easy to talk over because I'm constantly making decisions in terms of what block I want to use, what form I want to, you know, create, what thing I'm making. So I can kind of walk myself through that, you know, and talk myself through that out loud. And just kind of articulate the decisions I'm trying to make in my head. It's not always the easiest thing. I mean, I never shut up. It's one of the reasons I'm a professional podcaster. So, I mean, it helps to have that gift for gab on stream. But I find, too, that you're going to have an opportunity with a quiet chat that not everyone who wants to come in will want to chat. And not everyone who comes in is going to be someone that you want to chat with. So you have an opportunity where your chat is going to be slow enough that you're going to be able to read everything that comes in and engage and positively reinforce the kind of community you want to grow. And I something that I was, I can't remember who gave me this advice, but it's something I picked up on early on, and it's worked out quite well for me because I, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I really enjoy the community around my streams. And having that opportunity as an early streamer to ignore the douchebaggy comments that you're going to get. Don't engage. And just when someone says something nice or cool or constructive or interesting, just talk to them. And you'll find that over time, when people realize, oh, I can really engage with the streamer if I chat in this manner, you'll probably end up with more. It's a marathon. It's not a race. So just keep at it. I'd say another way that you could do it as well, and I've done this for friends, is see if you can rope a couple of good friends into just being in the chat. Even if they're not streaming people or people that like to watch streams, ask a favor and say, like, hey, look, I'm going to stream on Saturday for a couple hours. While you're baking dinner or, you know, cleaning the house or something like that, could you throw the stream on in the background and listen? And, you know, sometimes you might get some engagement. Maybe you won't, but it'll help bolster the views. And so when people come in and they see 12 people instead of five, then they might be more, you know, likely to stick around and engage a little bit more. And you never know, you might end up generating some conversation out of it. But like, just like when I started doing webcomics, like the first thing that I did when I started a webcomic was I reached out to family and friends, probably a small audience of like 30 to 40 people that I knew from like Twitter and Facebook, and just said, hey, look, I'm going to be doing this thing before I make it public to the whole internet. Can you read it every week and let me know what you think? And it was a lot easier to do that with a smaller audience. So if you can maybe, you know, pick some friends that you want to populate in the chat room to see if they can get the conversation going, and especially if they know one another, then they can just kind of talk amongst themselves, you know, and kind of keep the conversation going as you kind of like work up the speed. I mean, that would be where I would stand. I'm by no means a super successful streamer. It's basically a small part-time, you know, side hustle for me. So take that as you will. I mean, Megan, do you have anything to add to that? Because I feel like you're probably newer to streaming than I am.
Yeah, like, I mean, my streams are typically pretty tiny, so I think I average about 5 to 7 people, but a lot of that I think comes from, like, community overlap as well. Like, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate that I get that consistent 5 to 7 people because, you know, I'm on the show and I get, you know, I know you and I you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm riding your coattails or anything, but
no.
And I hope you don't think that I am, but you know, I think because I do have a voice and I'm a pretty, you know, I'm here a lot. I hang out with you a lot, which I love. It's great. This is great fun. I think because I've already kind of established myself as an internet person or as a personality, if you will, which feels like a weird thing to say. That did kind of give me a little bit of a boost up. But I have streamed to empty chat rooms before, and it like Jill said, treat it like a YouTube video, because one of the things you can do as well is take that VOD and put it on YouTube, and as this may sound like a weird thing, but YouTube is actually a really great way for people to find streamers. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about him before, but for like streaming advice and like building streams, Harris Heller is a really well-known, I found him on YouTube and found out he streams on Twitch because I found him on YouTube, and it's not a lie. Like most people are inclined to, browse YouTube for like leisurely listening or leisurely watching. And then from there, if you're like, oh, I like this person, let's, what else do they do? And they say, oh, I'm stream on Twitch these times and these days, that can help a little bit as well. But having, I think, this is going to sound really lame, but like being yourself and just like, Joel was saying, fostering the community you want to have. So like ignoring people who, are saying terrible things. Now, I am very quick, just because of the person that I am, if someone is saying something insulting or, that goes against my chat rules, not just against the community guidelines, but against my chat rules, which are usually synonymous, but I will call that person out and be like, that's not cool. Don't do that. If you're gonna do that, feel free to, there's the door. Because I want to set, for my community, and I think a lot of people are already on board with this, I want to set the precedent that my area is a safe space. It's a fun space. It's a comfortable space. So if anyone comes in and starts saying things that are in any way negative or, homophobic or racist or sexist or anything, it's like, I want everyone to know that is not acceptable.
Oh,
and I will call that person out and then immediately ban. Like,
oh no, I totally agree with all that. Yeah, to be clear about what I said earlier, I mean the people that are just being doofuses, like not breaking any terms of service or not breaking your rules, but they're just being like, they're not breaking any rules, but they're just being rude. Like, and there's always that fine line. Like, do you want to give the troll? Like, do you want to take the bait? Do you want to engage, or do you want to just ignore, the
right?
Like, for example, someone's backseat gaming. I'm going to ignore them. I'm not going to constantly tell them to stop backseat gaming because they won't, right? But if someone does something, like you said, that crosses those rule lines, then absolutely, I'm going to say like, oh, that was rude. No, don't do that, or just be like, not in my chat room. Bye bye. One of my favorite ways I've seen of people deal with stuff like that, and I highly recommend people checking him out. It's Iskal85 from Hermitcraft. When he streams, he deals with all kinds. He's got like 2,000 people in chat. And so there's all walks of life. There's reasonable adults, there's unreasonable adults, and there's unreasonable kids and reasonable kids. And what I find really funny, like someone will do like something rude, and like he'll do something like, oh, hey, you get to watch an ad. And then because that person that was rude is a non-sub, he then hits the ad button and they get to watch an advertisement while he then, talks about how rude that person was to the rest of the people.
That's really funny, actually. That's really great.
It's really amusing.
That's very funny.
Yeah. And he'll like, and so he'll call them out, but he tries to be funny about it. But he also points out like, are you that dumb? Like, he's not shy about calling people, you're dumber than I am.
There's another girl. There's another streamer that I follow. Her name's Ashley Roboto. She's another Canadian streamer. She's wonderful. She's so funny. Her streams are pretty chill, but she does a lot of, she has a very, high production value. But she does this thing where she usually plays, music in the background of her streams. And, some people will try and get her to say, like there's one video in particular that I'm thinking of that she also put up on Twitter. Because sometimes she'll put her VODs up on Twitter to be like, hey, here's some of the content that you can expect to enjoy on my streams. Which I think is pretty smart. I might actually start doing that. Someone, put in a Mad Lib that basically, when you say it out loud, sounded like something profane.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll say it because this is like relevant to the story. It's like they wanted her to say, "I like vagina." And she's like, "All right, someone just put something in the chat. We need to address this." And she turned off her music. She got like a close up camera to her face. And she was like, "I'd like, this person wants me to say this." And she read it phonetically. She's like, "It's meant to sound like this." And then she like, you know, zooms out her camera again. And she was like, "I'd like to direct your attention to the bisexual flag behind me. Why, this is stupid. Why are you doing this?" And she was like calling people out in like, you know, kind of a funny way. And I just, she just, I don't know. It was just, it's nice to see people call out, like people asking people to do stupid things in a way that's just like, you're dumb. I don't know. I personally like it. I think, you know, being honest about what you think is acceptable in your stream is the most important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I derailed my thought in by like six different ways there. But anyway, yeah, be yourself in your stream. Have a good time. Don't talk to the trolls. Yeah. And then, you know, treat it like you're talking to some friends. Because that's what it is. Like I said, like some of the people who come into your chat are going to be, you know, great friends to you. And I would say that's true of mine. Like there's some people who's like, I'm so, whenever I see their name come up in my chat, I'm so excited that they're there. It's really exciting because it's like a friend you haven't seen in a long time. Even though you're not seeing them face to face, you recognize their name, and it's good. I don't know. It's nice.
That actually reminds me of a final point, and then we can move on. But it's if you can find any natural memes from any regulars that you happen to see, a really good example is and I don't even remember how this started, but Elkhorn 95 is a member of the community and shows up in my streams quite often. He's one of my, I think he's one of my Minecraft moderators, actually, on my Patreon server. And every time he's in the stream, I greet him as the Mighty Elkhorn. I don't know how it started. It might have just been something goofy that I said that stuck, that I remembered. And so, like, it happened twice, and then it's just now everybody says the Mighty Elkhorn has arrived when he comes in. Or I certainly remember to say it every time. And it's the kind of thing like that that will just create that kind of like, this only happens here because it's something that happened with Joel and Elkhorn on stream, and it's just a thing. And it takes viewers a little while to catch on, but having stuff like that will help keep people coming back and having a good time. And so focusing on stuff like that. I don't do the YouTube thing because it's a mistake that I've made. I have not had the time / had the technical ability to edit videos and post them on YouTube for a while. And the problem is, and I'm seeing it, is that I am putting a lot of time into Twitch, but I'm not seeing the growth that I would want. But I've also been on this fence of, do I want to put the VODs on my main YouTube channel? Do I want to make a second YouTube channel? Like, do I want to have yet another thing to manage? Because something I do know from people that are experienced with YouTube is that the long VODs on YouTube don't do very well because they take your viewer rate down because of how long they are. People don't tend to watch the whole thing, right? So I'm on the fence. I'm not really sure what to do about it. I mean, I could easily just start posting them and just put a playlist and say like, look, this is separate. These are just VODs. There's nothing edited about them.
And I think that would be the easiest thing to do. I think that's what a lot of other people do is they have like their main channel and then they have like a, like a playlist of just VODs or like clips even. I know some people will just take clips and...
So I've got clips turned off because people were making clips of the most asinine things on my channel. Like it didn't even make sense. It's like people were clipping to bookmark where they left the stream. It was infuriating. So my clip, you know, when people go to view my clips on Twitch, it was like, oh, here's clips of like the most boring streamer ever. It was like clips of me looking at my inventory. It's like, why did you clip this? To the point where I thought people were just trolling me. So I just said, well, all right, if you can't use it correctly, then you don't get to use it at all. And I just shut it off. So for the longest time, and you can see it, I don't remember where in the 83 videos that I have on YouTube about the Citadel, I stopped recording locally to make YouTube videos. And I started chopping up my VODs from Twitch and turned those into videos. And it's more intensive because it's a longer video to chop up, but it was a little bit easier for me on the recording time because I didn't have to do two separate things. I could stream and record at the same time. I also can't record video locally that doesn't chop around because of the processor issues that I'm having. So I can download the VOD, and I was using the VOD to then chop up. And I keep on meaning to try and do that more often, but it's streaming has become a little bit more of a fluid thing for me and less of a formal video. And there's something I really enjoy about the let's just find out what we're going to build today in Minecraft vibe that I have from a stream, rather than having to have a project, trying to finish that project in one video, like all that kind of stuff. I see the treadmill that that friends are running on YouTube to constantly create content to get very little money for the amount of time and effort that you put in. And yeah. I just, even the people that do it professionally and they're fine, but to get there, like the amount of work that you have to put in, it's just like, I just don't have that anymore. If I was doing it full time, maybe, but like I have other interests. I have other things to take up my time. You know, for example, podcasting for me is much more balanced in terms of the time in the professional way I can support myself, and the time of the day, compared to the amount of recording time and work that it takes to make a Minecraft YouTube video. So there's always a little bit of give and take there. So I do need to get back into the idea of recording videos, or at least chopping up VODs. And maybe the answer is just a matter of like prepping the audience on YouTube. It's like, hey, this is going to be a chopped up VOD. So it's going to go for 20 minutes and then it's just going to stop and you'll have to watch the next one. And it's going to pick up right where it left off, you know, and that might be the easiest thing to do. The problem there is that there's usually a conversation with a chat room that's a little out of context when you're watching it on YouTube. So it's a hard line to walk. And I don't have enough followers on YouTube to even get advertising revenue. So it's not something that I really consider. But if you can, kind of the discoverability on YouTube is very high. That's the reason why the Citadel Cafe and the Spawn Chunks are YouTube, quote unquote, video podcasts. They're just title cards. There's no video, but we get people watching them there and they come in and they end up like subbing to a podcast feed or even supporting on Patreon because they discovered us on YouTube. And you can't do that if you're not there, right? So there is that. Anyway, moving on to the weird and wonderful world of WandaVision on Disney Plus, coming later on this fall. The second trailer for WandaVision came out yesterday. And have you seen this, Megan?
I haven't yet. No, I totally missed my radar, but I am more than happy to hear your thoughts on it because I'm reading your notes and it sounds great.
It is weird, but just in a wonderful, wonderful way. It all looks like a 50s sitcom, like black and white. Then they switch to like a 70s sitcom where everything is kind of like, not permacolor, but like the color vision where they kind of like take the black and white imagery and they make it color. So everything's kind of like overly saturated and technicolor, I think is the word I'm looking for. And there's so much personality to it. And there's also these really weird moments of like, it's obviously some sort of dream or outworldly experience or like surreal, like imaginary world that they're in. Because I believe from some of the dialogue in the trailer that this is all taking place during the snap. So during that time when half of the universe has been snapped away by Thanos, including Wanda, the Scarlet Witch, and then they have this interaction in this dream world or this ethereal space, and they're interacting with other beings, which is interesting, including Harkness, which is a powerful witch from the comics, played by Catherine Han. And I mean, you got Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany reprising their roles as Scarlet Witch and Vision. But then Kat Dennings is also in it, and she's billed as Darcy Lewis. That's her character from the Thor films. So does she get snapped away? We don't know. Like there's all this really cool stuff that they're kind of layering in there. And there's the scene where like Wanda and Vision are at the dinner table. They're entertaining, obviously, another married couple, or they're supposed to be a married couple. And then they have all these questions like, how long have you been married? How come you haven't had any kids yet? You know, please tell us. And then it starts to get like repetitive and like almost like an interrogation. And then they're looking at each other like there's something not right here. So they seem to be sort of aware that they're in a dream or in a world. And there's questions like, are we dead? you know, all this kind of stuff comes up. So I'm really curious to see if WandaVision is going to be the Disney Marvel window into what happens when you're snapped. You know, like, is there is the consciousness still there? All that kind of stuff. It just seems like free reign to do whatever weird, surreal stuff that they want, because there's no, there's probably no comics to say otherwise, right? Like, you're not going to affect canon because, like, who cares? You know, it's just, it just looks like a fun romp, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'll definitely probably watch the trailer right after we're done the show, because that sounds right up my alley, which is interesting because Wanda and Vision were never, like, quite my favorite. Not that I disliked them, but, like, I found them kind of difficult to watch in the movies. And I think partially because Elizabeth Olsen is so young and Paul Bettany is so old that, like, the age difference and kind of just... I know the in character-wise, that's not the case, but, like, in my brain, I was kind of just like, okay, there's something weird about this. But anyway, I'll give it a watch because it sounds like... I like wonderfully weird things. Things that are quirky weird without being, like, just weird for the sake of being weird, but, like... I don't know, that are just kind of offbeat a little bit. I'm really into that, so I'll definitely give that a watch.
Looks like it's coming in December, so there'll be a little bit of a wait yet. But actually, I'm surprised.
I was expecting, like, in the spring, so that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, and it looks like there's going to be 6 episodes, and it was originally supposed to come out in 2021, but they've moved it up, I guess. So, I don't know, maybe they just happened to get enough of the filming done before the pandemic, and then they just were in post-production. And that was able to be done remotely, but I don't know. It looks interesting. I really enjoy Paul Bettany as an actor. I've never had too much of an issue with the two of them. And I really enjoy, Elizabeth Olsen as well. I confess I haven't seen her in anything that I'm aware of outside of the Avengers. I probably have seen her in something before she was really well known and I just didn't know who she was. But I like what she brings to the Avengers. I enjoyed her a lot, especially not so much in, like, the introduction. I felt like that in Ultron, that was kind of sketchy, but that wasn't her fault. That was the writing. Ultron is kind of received pretty weakly by most people. But I really enjoyed the Civil War stuff between Vision and Wanda, and, like, that kind of early affection I thought was really cool. The other things on Disney Plus that got my attention this week is The Mandalorian received a number of Emmys. That's the first set of Emmys for Disney Plus, and going to a very geeky show that I really enjoyed. The Mandalorian won Outstanding Special Effects, Outstanding Cinematography for a Single Camera Series, Outstanding Sound Mixing for a Comedy or Drama Series, Outstanding Sound Editing for Comedy or Drama, and Outstanding Production Design for a Narrative Program. And not that the acting wasn't good, but it was really cool to see kind of like the world, you know, like the immersion that they're setting up in The Mandalorian is what got all the accolades, which is really cool. And this is less of a geeky thing, and I've never seen the show. For a Canadian note, Schitt's Creek, the Canadian comedy series starring Eugene Levy, Catherine O'Hara, and Dan Levy, which is Eugene's son, swept the comedy category, setting Emmy history with their final season, winning all 7 major Emmy awards for television comedy, including Outstanding Series, Outstanding Writing, Outstanding Directing, and all 4 major acting categories, lead and supporting in both male and female, all went to Schitt's Creek. So I complain very often that modern comedies just aren't my bag. I kind of feel like I need to at least check it out. At this point.
See, and I started watching Schitt's Creek with Colin, and I think Catherine O'Hara is brilliant at it. Like, she's like, they're like, you know what? And I totally get why everyone won the Emmys. Like, it's so deserved because everyone put their whole hearts and souls into their performances. So it's very goofy and it's very funny. I found that the type of comedy it is for me, it's a little bit of an awkward comedy. There's a lot of secondhand embarrassment. So, like, I found that for me, I could only watch it in small segments. not to say that it's not good. I just don't know if it's my cup of tea. I would give it a watch, formulate your opinion on it, because some of it was very charming. And some of the character growth is very charming. Like, we only got through the first season, and there's still a lot of, you know, strange character growth that needs to happen for these characters. Because do you know the premise at all?
I don't. This is the thing. Other than knowing it's Canadian and knowing it's been around for a few years, because I think this is the seventh season. It's one of those things where I've just been burned so many times by new comedy series because they're usually awkward comedies, and it's not my favorite. I usually don't find it funny.
So it is definitely an awkward comedy, but it's about like a really wealthy family who, you know, someone committed tax fraud and essentially stole all their money. So they're broke, and they're, you know, their house is foreclosed, and, you know, there's all this stuff, and they didn't know where they were going to live. And as a joke, the dad, Eugene Levy, bought a town for his son, which is Schitt's Creek. So they moved to the town and stayed in the hotel there. And they're basically living in the motel and trying to find a way to like sell the town so they can get their money back. And, you know, it's kind of like a comedy of errors, and like the mayor of the town is an actual just a gross human being in various ways, and like some of it is kind of funny. I don't know if it's super my cup of tea. I might try and give it another go, especially since it sounds like the final seasons are a lot more consistent. Or I guess, you know, probably funnier. They've probably had more time to, like, you know, really dig into the characters. But it's very dry. Like, it's a dry comedy. It's a dry, awkward comedy. So it's not like the goofy comedy that I liked about Brooklyn Nine-Nine. But it does have some pretty good moments in it. But I find there's not as many. It's not as meme-y as I find Brooklyn Nine-Nine is. Like, Brooklyn Nine-Nine is full of so many memes. Like, there's so many relatable, quotable moments that I love that I don't find Schitt's Creek has for myself personally. But the Emmys are so deserved, because everyone who is in it, they literally commit heart and soul to their roles. So
cool. Very cool. Well, I mean, I'll put it on my list. I mean, I think it's on Netflix. It's easy to try.
Yeah.
It's
worth a shot.
Yeah, for sure. So that's really kind of most of what's been on my radar. I feel like I've been talking forever. What have you been watching the last little while?
I kind of just delved back into nostalgia territory. I've been watching, like, I know you're not super into anime, but at my sister's strong suggestion and almost annoyance, like, she's been bugging me to watch it for a long time. She really wanted me to watch My Hero Academia. I don't really have a lot of opinions on it just yet. It's gotten better the more I've watched it, but I think I'm just at a point now in my life where I'm a lot pickier about anime that I enjoy and the style of anime. The concept of My Hero is really great. It's like, you know, high school for superheroes. That concept is kind of fun. Superheroes for hire, essentially. Like, there's like superheroes that are sponsored by businesses, and, you know, they do, it's sort of like, what if superheroes were like, literally anyone could be a superhero, and like there's one kid who doesn't have superpowers but wants to be a superhero, what would that look like? So it's got some interesting stories and characters in it. There's some, like, the thing that I appreciated about it the most is that the creators and the designers of it just didn't care if anyone's powers made sense. The world calls, like, all these superpowers are called quirks in this world, and some of them manifest themselves as like an ability, and some of them are what they call a mutation quirk, where you actually have like something physical about your body is, you know, super in some way. So for example, there's one girl who's entirely invisible. And she was just born invisible. So oftentimes, like, you can really only see her because of, like, a floating clothes. You know, so there's, like, just floating clothes walking around sometimes. So, like, there's really good visual gags. So, like, they often frame her, like, just half out of frame. So all you can see is, like, half of a school uniform shirt that's just, like, floating.
because like she's not meant to be seen, right? So they kind of just sneak her in the background in some places. So there's a lot of great visual gags that way. And some of the powers are just like people, they just did not care. Does this make sense? Doesn't matter. Just do it. So I kind of appreciate how they just no holds barred. They just went for it for a bunch of different weird quirks. So yeah, it's more so like, you know, if what does a society of superheroes look like and the main character doesn't have superpowers, what would that look like if, you know, a kid who doesn't have superpowers wants to be a hero? How does that look? So it's cute. Like I don't know if I'm like super in love with it the way some people seem to be, but I don't dislike it. It's fun to watch, definitely. But I went back for, you know, nostalgia purposes and started watching Sailor Moon again. Crave, our, you know, one of our local streaming services, recently released 5 seasons of Sailor Moon. To my great disappointment, it is not the terrible dub of the 90s and is in fact a newer dub, which I don't dislike, but I'm really missing some of the silly 90s nostalgia nonsense that I got from the original dub. So just like the way some people talk and like some of the way the voices sound, just in my brain it sounds wrong, even though all the performers are fantastic and they're all great, great voice actors. I'm still missing the terrible 90s nostalgia, but I'm going to give this a watch because the newer dub, in the original 90s dub, they actually cut out a lot of episodes and cut out a lot of content from the show to make it more, because it was one of the first animes that got distributed to America. So that I wanted to, you know, like they cut out a lot of stuff to make it more, you know, kid appropriate, because the actual Sailor Moon is quite violent and quite grotesque in some parts. So this is the uncut, unfiltered version, just with different voice actors. So I'm going to watch it and then compare the two of them at a later point, I think. But that's literally all I've been doing. That's it.
Johnny, my co-host on the Spawn Chunks, is a big fan of My Hero Academia. And I don't remember how many seasons there are, but the impression that I get from him is that you kind of have to stick through it, and then it starts to get better because you start to get familiar with the characters, and so then there tends to be more rewarding things happen as the season gets more complex.
And I've definitely found that. We started, like, right now we're on season 3, I think.
Oh, you're already 3 seasons in.
My roommate and I have just been watching, you know, an episode or two every night while we eat dinner before she has to go to bed, because she's working early and whatnot. So I haven't been, you know, we haven't been getting through it pretty quick, but we've been watching it for at least the last like month. And I like it. I'm still waiting for it to get, at least for certain characters anyway. Like there's one character, his name is Bakugo, and he's known for, his quirk is literally explosions. He can just create combustions out of his hands. But he also just has an explosive personality. Like, he's just a very angry kid. Seemingly for, like, there's obviously a reason, but it seems like there's no reason for it. So he's just mad all the time, and he's just blowing up, both literally and figuratively, all the time. In a way that I find really frustrating, because, like, there's no development, and people are still just trying to be really nice to him. And I'm just like, but he's just an asshole. But my sister loves him. He is her favorite character, and I'm just like, why? He's such a dipshit. So I think I find that trope of anime, like, you know, having angry characters, endearing. I think I find that hard to stomach now, just because I, you know, if someone were to do that in real life, I'd be like, I don't want to be around you. Go away. And I kind of at that point where I just don't want to watch it either. But I'll continue to watch it. Like, I'll stick it out. I've gotten this far. I may as well keep going. And I like it. I definitely do enjoy it. I just don't know if I'm, you know, there's some people who seem to be like diehard fans for it. And I feel like I'm missing something, with it. I don't know. I like it though. I would recommend it.
I find that I'm picky now too. We know we were talking about comedies earlier. I just find in general, I'm just tired of the same old, same old. You know, like there just tends to be, I think it was an online friend of mine, John Sanford, that tweeted something recently about, like, you know, I'm so sick of Hollywood's last 10 years. Like, it's nothing but remakes, rehashes, redos, and part twos. I'm just like, yep, that's one of the reasons why I'm not interested in most new things. You know, with the exception of the Marvel universe that was always marching forward to the end goal, the end game, pardon the pun, then, like, there just didn't seem to be anything appealing outside of that that was original. Because, again, like, even though, yes, there were new movies from, say, like, you know, Fast and the Furious, but, like, I don't want to go watch Fast and the Furious 13. I didn't like the first one. So, they just seem to be this endless march of mediocre trying to fill seats and get money. And, of course, this year, obviously, that's all changed. I feel you on the pickiness, especially when it comes to animation. I mean, I'm not the biggest anime fan to begin with. So to get me to watch an anime, it's got to be pretty good. I find too with animation, I'm becoming pickier and pickier. Maybe it's because I'm getting older and older, and they're less and less for me. I really wish that there would be this medium ground, and I think we've sort of hit it a little bit. You and I have talked about it at length on the show with the Dragon Prince, how it's not really a kid show. Like, it's aimed at young adults, you know, like teens. Yeah, and so it's easier to watch as an adult because there's more in it for you. I really wish that there was some animation that would be out there that would be aimed squarely at, like, 30-somethings. Like, people that have jobs and lives and are interested in the same kind of television drama that we would be interested
in. That's not Family Guy style.
Exactly. That's not, quote-unquote, adult animation. I don't want vulgar shit all the time. I don't want it at all, really.
Yeah.
But, it like, I would love to have, like, an action cartoon or something that doesn't dwell on nostalgia. Don't give me another Transformers cartoon, because you can't seem to do those right either. You know, like, just give me something new, maybe something in the something that would warrant making it a cartoon, you know, like fantasy or sci-fi or adventure, superpowers, something that would mean, like, you know, crazy budgets for special effects in real life. But if you just did it as an anime or as a cartoon, then you're fine. You know, really good example would
be. Have you watched Korra. Castlevania?
It's on my list. I haven't gotten to it yet.
Yeah. I think you'll really like Castlevania, because everything you've just said, it kind of hits a lot of those. It does have an anime style, but to me, it equates more to, like you mentioned, Korra. It kind of, it's a little bit more, I think Korra is beautiful. I think Castlevania is, like, it's more elegant looking. That's the word I'm looking for.
Right. Yeah.
So Castlevania is a very similar style, but it's very elegant. It's like soft lines. And the lighting is fantastic. There's not a lot of goofy moments to it. So it is a very serious show, and some of it can get very dark, and it is very, it's about vampires. But there is a lot of gore and violence, and, you know, like you said, like it, like the special effects budget would have been astronomical if it were a live action, but it is a beautiful show, and it is very well written and very well performed, and there's very, very in-depth characters, and I hope you watch it, because I would love to talk about it at some point. I need to watch it again, but that's what Colin and I watched on our first date. We watched Castlevania. I want to go back and watch it, and it's because it's very good. Absolutely not aimed for children, but it looks beautiful. The production value is very strong, and it is very captivating, very engaging.
Cool. Lou has recommended that on the show before as well. Mm-hmm. So it's on my Netflix list. I just haven't been in the right mood to hit go. I've been having some misses trying new stuff on Netflix, and it's losing my faith. You know, in the same way that I will watch pretty much anything Marvel puts out, because it always tends to be at least watchable, if not good. Then I have the opposite opinion now. I don't trust Netflix as I once did. Like, where you used to have, like, just a handful of original productions, you know, like Stranger Things, and there was another horror show a while ago that was really good, and, like, stuff like that. You know, you just, like, oh, okay, it's back, and it's going to be great, you know? Now, there just seems to be so many, and they seem to be having all of the same tropes and problems that traditional television does. And it's like, this is not why I want streaming. I want streaming because I want streaming to be different than traditional TV. Like, why are you doing 13 episodes? Why are they 22 minutes? Like, just get over yourself and just make something original, for Pete's sake, you know? So I'm finding it's a hard road right now. with Netflix. And then the other streaming services that I have access to, Disney doesn't have a lot of new content that I haven't seen. And then Amazon, it's all doom, gloom, and the end of the world. And I don't need more of that in my entertainment right now. So,
no.
And there is one comedy. But again, like I have to, it's one of those things where like, it's, do I really want to see, waste the time to see if this is good? And I find that there's a lot of choice paralysis right now. And I don't know whether that's just the world at large, whether it's just me, but like, I can't remember the Upload, I think is the name of the comedy on Amazon. So it's supposed to be lighter. Ryan Murphy recommended it on the show. And again, I have it on my watch list. I just haven't got to it yet because I just haven't been in that kind of mood. That's going to be it for this episode, actually, of the Citadel Cafe. Time to wrap things up before Hurricane Teddy says no more. If you'd like to get links to some of the things that Megan and I talked about on the show today, you can go to thecitadelcafe.com. Music for the show was, of course, composed by Kevin McLeod. You can email us at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter. Subscribe for free on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, and Spotify. We're also on YouTube. A personal recommendation is by far the easiest way to support the show. Just poke a friend in the arm and say, hey, this is a great podcast, and then tell them how they can listen to it. Really helps us grow the audience. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything that I'm doing online at joelduggan.com. You can also check out my other podcast, All About Minecraft, at thespawnchunks.com. Recorded a new episode yesterday with guest host Whip. Or F-Whip, as some of you might know him. I had a great time answering a bunch of emails with Whip on the show. Really, really fun. You can also find me on social media at Joel Duggan, and of course, twitch.tv/Joel Duggan for all of my streaming content. Megan, where can people find you online?
People can find me online on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitch at @OMeganTownsend.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.